The following program is presented for your information and entertainment, and is a document of radio's history. Recordings of this program have been placed in the archives of the Department of Telecommunications, University of Southern California, and the archives of the Pacific Pioneer Broadcasters in Hollywood. Transcribed.
Just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half-century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Like the story of
Ladies and Gentlemen, Easy Aces.
Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce Easy Aces, radio's distinctive laugh novel. There are many different kinds of headaches, and many different kinds of pain. So it doesn't stand to reason that one pain remedy is only as directed on the package. Ask for Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N, at any drugstore. Well, Jane and her next-door neighbor, Dorothy, continue to work for the bus company, their route now being along the war factories. So far, they've been unable to keep the bus on schedule and have lost many man-hours of work for the defense plant. This episode takes place a couple of mornings later in the office of Mr. Race. He's dictating to Miss Thomas, his secretary. Listen.
Well, let me thank you again for your kind letter and hope that we will be able to reach some sort of an agreement very soon. Sincerely yours. Now, let's answer this one.
Mr. Race, just a minute, please. Do you realize it's now 12:15, which I haven't had a thing to eat since breakfast?
Well, I think that's the good old American custom. First you eat breakfast, then you have lunch.
But when? Which I've been sitting here famishing ever since we started this dictation, which that was over an hour ago.
Yes. This letter is...
I warn you, Mr. Race.
You warn me, yes.
Someday I'll keel over in a faint right before your very eyes.
A pretty picture.
Which maybe that'll prove to you that a girl who keeps the lunch hours I do, which one day it may be 11:30 and the next day 12:30, is not responsible for her mental or physical condition.
You finished?
And I just wanted to warn you, which I hope you won't be surprised if I keel over someday.
I won't. Besides, instead of this argument, you could have finished with this last letter and be on your way.
Is this the last letter?
Yes.
And I didn't know, which I thought you were going through that whole
which
pile.
Which you thought, all right, Miss Thomas, take this letter to my brother-in-law, Alvin Sterling.
Yes, sir.
Dear Alvin, your letter which arrived yesterday...
Excuse me, shouldn't that be your letter that arrived yesterday instead of which...
You have a monopoly on the... Listen, Miss Thomas.
Oh, I shouldn't have started that. Okay. Your letter, which arrived yesterday. Sounds peculiar, but all right. Go ahead. Well?
Just a moment, which I'm trying to formulate the letter in my mind, which he wants to borrow some money, which I'm not going to lend it to him.
Oh, I see.
That's okay with you, is it?
Well, if you don't want to lend it to him, it's okay, which I don't...
I see, Miss Thomas. Your letter which arrived yesterday asking for a loan came as quite a surprise. Although I thank you for your belated Christmas and New Year's greetings at the start of the letter, as for the money, I must say no at this time. Because, as you must realize, the taxes are no small matter this year. I hope the Rummel plan goes through, but it's going to take the Rummel plan and the Morris plan to get me out of hock.
I don't get it.
That's quite all right.
Yes, sir.
In closing, may I remind you what Shakespeare said, neither a borrower nor a lender be, but purchase all you can of Series E. Sincerely yours.
What was that last?
Just what I said. Purchase all you can of Series...
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Come in, Dorothy. Dorothy's with me.
Yes, hello, Dorothy.
Hello.
Yes. Well, what happened with the bus business today?
Oh, we're on our lunch hour. Oh, you remember Dorothy, don't you, Miss Tomlin?
Yes, I met Miss Tomlin.
Oh, pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. On your lunch hour, did you say?
Yes. Sit down, Dorothy. We're both tired, too. We get an hour for lunch and an hour to rest.
I see.
Think it was 2 hours, off from 12 to 2. We had an awful morning.
Oh, business was rushing, was it?
Well, we had a lot of business, but I wouldn't say we were rushing. Were we, Dorothy?
No, that's the trouble. Mr. Wilson was awfully mad about that.
Oh, Mr. Wilson is...
Oh, well, he's the manager of the bus company.
I see.
Oh, I didn't know you were driving a bus, which I heard you were just thinking about it.
Oh, we've been driving now almost 2 weeks, haven't we, Dorothy?
Oh, it'll be 3 weeks. A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, it'll be three weeks.
3 weeks. My, how the time flies.
Yes, but you say you haven't been rushing. What's the trouble now?
Same trouble, those defense workers. They have to get there on time, and we just don't seem to be able to make the bus go any faster or something.
Oh, we sure got it today, didn't we, Jane?
First Mr. Adams complained.
A new character. Who's Mr. Adams?
He's the general manager of the wharf factories around here.
Oh.
He said we've been crossing the factory so many man hours, he can't count them. By the way, dear, what's a man hour?
Yes, what's a man hour?
A man hour? Well, you take one man working on a job so many hours, and so many more men working on that job with him so many more hours, and together they constitute so many man hours. You see?
No.
Well, to make it unanimous, no here, too.
I was talking to the bus company, Miss Thomas.
Well, I still don't get it.
Oh, you don't.
I don't either. Mr. Adams tried to explain it the first day. Then we had a major from the Army who came to see us on the bus.
A major?
Yes, he has charge of the general manager who has charge of the factory, you see.
Well, what did he want?
Oh, he was awfully mad, too, wasn't he,
Jim? Oh, he was madder than a hairnet. He said, do you know how many man hours we've lost in... Oh, by the way, dear, what did you say a man hour was?
Oh, well, a man hour, as I said, it's, well, now you take A, who works on a job so many hours, and then B, who works on the same job so
oh,
many
no.
hours.
Oh, no. Now, don't start with A and B. I can't work those out.
Me either. It sounds like school days, doesn't it, Jane?
Did you have that trouble, too?
Did I? Well, I sat there for 2 years and never knew a thing that was going on.
A does this and B does that.
Oh, and don't forget X is something.
Oh, yes, X. Oh, what a waste of time.
Yes.
I always said to myself, how is this going to help me? A does this and B does that.
It might have been a help today, you know.
Oh, once in a doomsday.
Well, it looks as if you'll go through life never knowing what is meant by a man hour.
Oh, you should have heard General Rockford this morning.
General? I thought you said he was a major.
Oh, no. Major Harris was a major. General Rockford is a general.
Oh.
General Rockford. Is that it, Dorothy?
Yes, General Rockford. Mr. Wilson brought him over.
What for?
Same old thing. Man hours.
Well, what are man hours?
Nice time to ask that, Miss Thomas.
Nobody knows, Miss Thomas. Or if they do, they won't tell us. Even Major Harris said it was a secret.
A secret?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a military secret.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about...
Well, that's what Major Harris told us. He said if they lose 35 minutes of one man hour, then if you times that by thousands of men, you can see how much they lose. But he wouldn't say how many thousands of men I should times 35 by.
I don't get it.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you got it now.
Oh, sure. It's simple multiplication.
Yes, it's very simple. Jane, what's this 35 minutes?
Well, the first day we took the Grand Street line, we were 25 minutes late getting the men to their jobs because there were so many. And the streets were up to here in mud. And so we were 25 minutes late.
The first day.
That's when Mr. Adams complained to Mr. Wilson. He was awfully mad.
He was awfully
mad. Yes, they both were. Then the next day we tried to be on time, but we were 35 minutes late. See? 10 minutes more.
Oh, 25 and 35. Yeah, 10 minutes more, I say.
That's when Mr. Wilson brought Major Harris to talk to us. He was awfully mad, Major Harris.
Awfully mad. What did he say, Major Harris?
He said they couldn't afford to lose that many man hours. And I said, is that bad? And he said, bad? It's terrible. Or worse to that effect.
Or worse, to that effect?
Uh-huh. How did you make out today?
Well, we did better today.
Well, thank heaven for that.
Oh, yeah.
Today we were only 40 minutes late.
Only 40 minutes?
Not sure. Only 40 minutes.
Well, what's better about that? Yesterday you were 35 minutes late.
Yes, and that was 10 minutes later than 25. Now we're only 40 minutes late, and that's
only 5 minutes later than 35. Yes,
yes.
I see.
You see how we're catching up? Hmm. Mm-hmm. We're only working 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Come on, hearing things. You say 40 minutes late is better than being 35 minutes late?
Oh, not when you look at it like that.
Well, you look at it as being only 5 minutes later than the day before.
Oh, sure. In another week or so,
you'll have all the defense plants closed.
Yeah. No. We'll be getting so we're only going to be a minute or two later than 35 minutes.
I give up. What's the answer?
What's what answer?
Yes, what's what answer? Well, don't look at me, which I was on my way to lunch if I may go now.
Yes, you may go
now.
Oh,
we just had lunch downstairs in the drugstore.
Well, what did you have?
Well, I had a peanut butter sandwich and a chocolate soldier and Dorothy...
Oh, there you are.
What? Hey, Mr. Wilson.
Well, Mr. Wilson, this is a surprise. Come in.
I have looked through every office in this building and here I find you.
Well, how did you know we were here?
How did I know?
Yes, how did you know?
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Wilson. This is my husband, Mr. Ace.
How do you stand it?
Sir, you are talking about the woman I love.
Oh, well, thanks.
Just a moment, Mr. Wilson. Who did you wish to see?
Not you.
Meaning which? Oh, well, this is Miss Thomas, Mr. Wilson.
I don't care who she is. Now, what's going on? You knock off work for a tea party?
Oh, this is our lunch hour, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, the girls just dropped in to say hello, and they
just dropped in to say hello, did they?
Come on. I don't think there's anything to get upset about that, is there, Mr.?
Listen, Mr. Ace. You know what these two ladies have been doing in our defense works around here?
Oh, that.
Isn't that enough? 40 minutes late today. 40 minutes, mind you. Can you imagine how many man-hours that comes to?
Oh, those man-hours again.
Listen, you. I thought General Rockford impressed on you that the defense plans had to be kept supplied with men every minute of the day.
Well, we're just taking our 2 hours off.
Yes, we're just taking our 2 hours off.
That's all they were doing. They're entitled to 2 hours, aren't they? Or are they?
Yes, they are. But does that mean driving up here in the bus and leaving the bus parked downstairs in the bus zone and tying up bus traffic around here for 2 hours?
Say what?
You heard me. That bus should have been returned to the garage and gone out with other operators. And where do I find it? Downstairs in the bus zone. And with a sign on it.
Yes, I wrote it myself. Out to lunch.
Ah, there. You see what I mean?
Out to lunch?
Yes, and I put back at 2 o'clock right under it.
Yes, and locked the bus so nobody could get into it.
Well, I don't want anybody to steal anything out of it, do I?
Oh, murder.
Isn't that awful?
Oh, murder.
Goodman Ace, comedy writer supreme. Columnist for the Saturday Review magazine. Writer for such stars as Milton Berle, Perry Como, Danny Kaye, and Tallulah Bankhead. On January 18, 1972, Mr. Ace remembered his Easy Aces days for an audience at Pasadena City College.
Thank you, Dean Perez, for a very glowing introduction. I don't really deserve it. But, I also have a calcium deposit in my right shoulder, and I don't deserve that either. So life has a way of compensating. By now, you may have guessed that I'm new at this thing. Actually, this is the first year that I've ever spoken in public. And, well, to show you how new I am, when I left home on this thing, I said to Jane, my wife, she doesn't quite know what I'm doing, although I've explained it to her quite a number of times. I said, we had 2 tickets to the theater for the night, and I said, do you think you can find somebody to go to the theater with you? You think you can hustle up somebody? I won't be able to go. She says, oh, sure, that's a hit play. Thanks very much. And as I went to the elevator, she said, why? Where are you going? I said, I'm going out to the California to speak at Pasadena Community College. She said, all right, then don't tell me. Somebody will have to give me a note to show her I was here. She would come along, but she's a little nervous about flying. She always says, if God had wanted us to fly, he would have given us tickets. A couple of people here, but not many of the youngsters, I'm sure, asked about Jane. what she's doing. She used to do a radio program long before your time. And I can report that she's doing very well. She, I can tell you she's loaded. She saves all her money from the old radio days. While I've been taking care of the necessities of life, betting on football games and playing poker and stuff, she's been stashing it away. And I don't know what she has in her portfolio, but I looked at it the other day, and there was a big fat envelope there, and I said, "What's in that, Jane?" And she says, "Oh, don't you remember about 20 years ago, I bought $5,000 worth of 2-cent stamps. And when you consider what it costs to send a letter today, I've quadrupled my money." And she believes that, too. But one thing she did very well, though, I have to say, she bought our apartment when it went co-op. And that's her hobby now. She's always redecorating it. This year, it's all in white. White cushions, white television set, white bar, everything in white. White vinyl on the floor, a lot of little gold leaf in her. If you ever drop any earrings or something, you can forget it. You'll never... If our maid ever cleaned up real good, she could retire and go to Florida for the rest of her life. Well, anyway, she says it looks like an Italian villa. Actually, it looks like a cheap nightclub. I know there's a cover charge after 8 o'clock, and we have guests, and I'm usually the floor show. She says, "Dear, tell them..." Oh, I must tell you this. The other morning, I read the Times every morning before I go to the office, and I come out of my room, and she always says, "Well, what's new in the paper, dear?" And I know she's not too much interested, so I make up little items to amuse her. And this day I have said, "I see they put a clock in the Leaning Tower of Pisa." And she said, "Why did they do that?" And I said, "Because the Italians feel, what's the use of having the inclination if you don't have the time?" So that night she says, "Dear, tell Kenneth that story about what's the use of having the inclination if you don't have the time." I said, "Yeah, I've forgotten it." She said, "Oh, you remember about the Italians and the Leaning Tower of Pisa?" She's telling the whole story. And I never... Next morning, she always said, "You never want to entertain my guests when I have them here." I could tell you a lot more about her, but you'd only laugh. One thing about her, she has an occupational hazard. When we did our program, she used a lot of malaprops. Like, "Be it ever so hovel, there's no place like home. You could have knocked me down with a fender." When our maid didn't show up on a radio program for several days, she said, "I think she has intentional flu." And the other night, and actually now, you know, it's a kind of a hangover from the old radio days. She's not quite sure which to the right. Sometimes I get confused. She went out for a ride, and I said, "Where were you?" She says, "Well, we went down on the east side of the ghetto section. We saw a lot of those Old Testament houses." I said, "Holy Moses." She says, "Was that right?" I said, "Oh, sure, Jane. I don't want to tell her she's wrong about it." Well, I could go on some more about her, but... I digress here. I digress a lot lately. It's fun digressing, you know. Well, here's a good subject. Pollution. Air pollution, clinically known as television. You know why they call television a medium? Because it's rarely well done. And I worked in the television vineyards for about 20 years as a comedy writer. Any of you young people are thinking of becoming comedy writers, don't. It's impossible to get a job first, because if you go to try to get a job, they say, "If you had experience," you say, "No." And then they say, "We can't hire you unless you have experience." You say, "Well, how do you get experience?" You say, "Writing on television." You know, you never can get anywhere that way. Well, anyhow, if the comedy writer is held on the... He's on the lowest rung of the social ladder, right below the television repairman.
the Aces have joined the country club of the new community into which they've just moved. But Jane Ace feels pretty badly that her next-door neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Webb, newlyweds, are not eligible for membership. The membership committee, headed by Mrs. Horn, feels the Webbs haven't the proper background, as she puts it. However, Jane's determined to get Ruth Mary and Charlie into the club. Our scene now is the Aces bungalow, where we find Jane with her best friend, Marge. Listen.
So I said, Mrs. Horn, here's the whole thing in a shell hole. Ruth Mary is one of my closest friends, and anything you say about her, you're just jumping at convulsions, because she is the sweetest and...
Yes, I know, Ben. I have an idea about all that you said, but what I'm asking is, what does Mrs. Horn say and the other two ladies of the membership committee?
Well, I'm coming to that. Do you want me to tell you this my way
or what? All right, then. But first, tell me, this Mrs. Horn's friends, from what you said, they're rather snooty persons. Are they sort of elderly?
Elderly? No, I don't think you'd call them
about 50 or so?
Oh, no, in their middle ages, I'd say.
In their middle ages?
Well, Marge, if you'll just let me tell you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where was I now?
She is the sweetest.
Oh, yes, Ruth Mary, I mean. She is the sweetest and nicest girl I've ever met. Present company expected, Marge.
Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. Well, I said, who are we to tell her she's not good enough to belong to a country club? All men are created equal, I said. I got that from Mr. Ace. He told me to say.
Good. He makes up some pretty good things sometimes.
Yes, he certainly does. All men are created equal, yes. And I think Ruth Mary's just as equal as anybody here, and maybe a little more so. I'm getting kind of mad then. And I said, we are living in a free country club.
Free country club?
Yes.
Well, the committee doesn't seem to think that.
Well, I'll bet they do now, after I gave them my peace of mind.
Why, what happened? Did they reconsider?
Beg pardon?
Well, are they taking Ruth Mary into the club after all?
I'll say they were, they are. Wait till you hear the rest of it.
Yeah, Jane, you did a swell job breaking down all that resistance.
Well, so I said, this is a free country club, and I think my friend Ruth Mary Webb and her husband Charlie could be members of it.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, they said no at first, and I said, why not? And they said, because. And I said, because why? And we talked back and fro like that for a little while. And pretty soon one of the other women, Mrs. Kling, she says, well... they don't know anything about Ruth Mary's folks and Charlie's family and everything. So I said, well, that makes it all right, because if they had done things that they shouldn't have, then their names would have been in the papers and everybody would have known about them, see?
Well, that sounds logical.
Yes, I thought it was.
What? Oh, go ahead.
So I said, I'll find out all about them. And they said, all right, if you want to waste your time. And I said, oh, it's no waste of time. I'll be glad to. And I told them, I'd let them know everything I found out, and then they could take her and Charlie into the club.
Oh, so that's the way it stands.
Yes, and this afternoon I found out everything.
You what? Well, from whom?
From Ruth Mary. It was a hard job, just like pulling teeth from a baby, but I finally got it. And here it is, all written out. See?
Oh, so that's that long list.
Mm-hmm. It's all about Ruth Mary and Charlie. You want to see it?
Yeah, let me take a look at that.
Can you read it? I jotted everything down in a hurry.
Yes, I can see it all right. So this is the dope.
Now, Marge, don't you start talking about Ruth Mary that way, too, because I've had enough trouble.
No, Jane, I just meant that this is all the information about our neighbors. You know, I kind of hate to read this. It's like fine.
Oh, go ahead. They're not ashamed of it. All except one part. I'll show you that when we come to it.
Well, if you insist, I'll
come. Oh, hello, dear.
Well, you're just in time, Ace. We're about to read the family history of Mr. and Mrs. Webb.
Oh, now what's up?
It's about Ruth, Mary, and Charlie.
Yeah, what about them?
Well, Jane was up at the membership committee today and made a short talk with Slides on the merits of the Webbs as members of the country club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew she was going. But what good is it going to do? They don't want them in the club, and I think the Webbs will be uncomfortable if they get in. I think they have a hunch how things stand. Now, why make them join?
Well, I want them to, because they're going to start trying out for the play right away, and I want Ruth Mary to be in it with me.
Oh, you're sure you're going to be in it?
Well, I like to see them put them on without me over my dead body.
Well, probably accommodate you.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, now, Marge, if you're going to start making fun of what I wrote.
Oh, no, Jay. But what is this? Listen.
Well, read it from the start.
Yeah, that's about as good a way as any to begin.
All right. Let's see. This is the first page, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ruth Mary. That's the caption of the page.
That's the page all about Ruth Mary. Go ahead.
Yeah. Ruth Mary, 20 years old, mother living in Montana, on farm with cows. Brunette.
Ruth Mary, I mean.
Oh, I thought the cow.
Oh, hush, dear. Go ahead, Maude.
Only daughter, sisters, none. Brothers, none.
Well, that sort of senses it.
Angelo. Angelo, is that what this says?
Angela, where?
Well, right here, this way.
Oh, yes, Angela. Well, we got to talking about hairdressers while I was writing this, and she gave me the name of her.
Oh, Jane, isn't that awful?
Well, I just happened to write it down. It has anything to do with Ruth Merritt, don't it? Well, you pick the silliest thing to start making a fuss over.
Yes, Jane, we know. All right, go ahead.
Skipping Angela, we seem to come to baking soda.
What?
Oh, I just happened to write that, too. I wanted to remember to order some from the store. You don't have to read all my personal things, do you? Can't you just read about Ruth, Mary, and Charlie?
Oh, yeah, their personal lives don't matter, I suppose.
No, that's common property now.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on here. Mother has a little money. Ruth Mary writes her Sundays and Wednesdays. Was that all?
Yeah, that's all about her.
Well, that's very interesting, especially that part about writing Mother every Sunday,
I put that in to show that she loves her mother.
Oh, that proves it all right. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Now we come to Charlie. Charlie is 25. Two brothers, one in California, one in Texas, and one in Canada.
Two brothers?
Well, the one in Canada they haven't heard from for years.
Oh, I see.
And one sister.
Yeah, I suppose they live in Cleveland, Kansas City, and St. Paul or something.
Oh, strangely enough, she lives at home, it says here. Home being Denver, according to the family tree. Charlie first met Ruth Mary.
Oh, you like this part, dear. It's just like us.
He met her at a dance, and they had a runaway marriage.
That's the part. Isn't it just like us? I was so surprised.
Like us? What's a runaway marriage got to do with us?
Oh, well, you know how every time I ask you about getting married, you run away.
Oh,
Jane,
please. I'm a nervous man.
But there's one part there, right after that. That's the part I don't want to say anything to Mrs. Horn about. Let me show you here. Here. Her great-great-grandfather was a sailor.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, a sailor. You know how they say, a sweetheart of every sort. We better not tell them about that.
Oh,
but a great-great-grandfather, Jane, they won't mind if there was a sailor in the family that far back.
Oh, yes, that's the part they keep talking about. Her folks, they mean her family long, long ago.
Oh, I see. They expect all the club members to be descendants of first families,
I suppose. I think you're being a little over-cautious there, Jane.
Well, I'm not going to tell her that. Why should we spoil their chances of joining?
Sure, it'll be awful if it leaked out that great-great granddaddy was a gop. Where did you get that information?
Ruth Mary told me. She started to tell me all about this old man. Oh, I guess he was younger then.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, he was on this boat, and... Oh, that must be Mrs. Horn now.
Oh, I didn't know she was coming here tonight.
Yes, I asked her to be here. I told her I'd get all the information about Ruth Mary.
Well, let her in, Jane.
All right. Just a minute.
Yeah, you mustn't keep the membership committee waiting.
I wouldn't miss this coming scene for the world.
Great-great-grandfather used to be a sailor.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Horn. Come in.
Hello, my dear. I promised I'd drop in.
Oh, I was expecting you.
I can't promise that it would be of any use. But a promise is a promise. Hey, how do you do, Miss Ray?
Hello, how are you?
Miss Hale, good evening.
How do you do?
I promised Mrs. Ace I'd drop in and listen to one more plea of hers in favor of those people. I didn't mention any names, did I?
No, we just guessed.
Oh, they know. I was just telling them all about...
Jane's been doing some research work.
She's such a loyal little thing.
Mm.
Yes, and she seems to have found out a few facts that may do the web some good.
My dear Miss Hale, the committee has already investigated. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It seems that there's nothing particularly to recommend them. You know what I mean.
Yes, I see.
Well, shall I read it to you?
Jane, just a minute,
what
now.
What have you found out, Jane?
Well,
I mean, anything more than you already know.
Well, what do you know?
Simply that they've been married a little over a month. That he sells used cars. That their people are nobody in particular.
Well, now, that all depends on what you call somebody. I'm not going...
Okay, Marge, you're not concerned in this.
Well, shall I read it?
Well, I'm as much concerned as Jane is. After all, they're my neighbors,
well,
too.
Well, let's not flare up over such a trifling matter.
Trifling matter? You call it trifling when you want to ostracize a nice couple from all the social activities around...
Oh, calm down. No speeches. It's not like you, Marge.
Yes, I never thought he would bring on all
those... Well, you must pardon her, Mrs. Horn. She's not...
Well, shall I read it?
Well, oh, you're still here, huh?
Still here? Well, I'm the main one. I have to read it.
Oh, you have to.
Well, what do you think I spent all afternoon for?
Maybe it would be interesting to have Mrs. Horn tell us more about what she knows about the webs before Jane reads what she knows.
I'll be happy to. There's really not much more to tell. I mean no reflection on them when I say they're not the type we want in our club. You see, all our members come from a fine American stock. We like to have the membership stay that way and listen at the web.
Now, shall I read it now?
Oh, Jane, don't be stupid. They're not interested in taking them in. You're right, Mrs. Horn. The webs aren't the type for your club. And if the Aces only knew it, they're not either.
Oh, tell now, Miss Hale, the Aces...
Don't stick up for us. Marge, I think you're a little hasty. And besides, Don't think we'd belong to the club if I thought the whole membership was a stuck-up crowd. They're pretty good people on the whole. There's a little clique that isn't, but that doesn't matter. And as for the web...
As for the web, they couldn't possibly belong, Mrs. Horn.
Oh.
Jane just found out that Ruth Mary's great-great-grandfather was a sailor.
Oh, Mart, I wonder...
Well, I'm telling you.
Oh, you spoiled the whole thing. After all this work I did, I knew I shouldn't have told you about the Mayflower and all that.
The Mayflower?
Yes. Well, that's the boat he was on.
The Mayflower? Why,
Mrs. H., why did you say? Well, it looks like Jane stumbled across some information that ought to move Ruth, Mary, and Charlie right into the club with no trouble at all. We learn more when we next meet the EZA.
You are listening to Same Time, Same Station on KRLA, Pasadena. Well, Jane managed to get her next-door neighbors, Ruth Mary and Charlie Webb, into the country club, which the Aces have just joined. And just in time, too. Because the club's about to put on its annual play, and Jane wants Ruth Mary in the play as well as herself. Our scene now is the home of Mrs. Horn, chairman of the membership committee and lady boss of the club. Mrs. Horn sits with her two henchwomen as our scene opens. Listen.
Now, girls, there's no getting away from the fact that certain members are trying to get something on us. You know yourselves it is just because we've been running things for the past 6 years that they're letting us alone. But they're getting mighty fidgety about things.
Yes, I've noticed it too.
Of course you have. We three have to stick together or we'll lose everything. We came pretty close to it last year when one or two of the members, I mustn't mention any names, wanted an audit of the books after the play was given. It took quite a lot more acting on my part than they had in the play to be indignant enough for them not to audit our books. Now, girls, we three are in this alone.
Alone is right. So why bring in another? Sharing $1,200 three ways is small enough, but with a...
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Patricia. You don't for one moment think I'm bringing in another partner into our, shall I say, little business arrangement?
Well, what are you, Patricia, please? Let's tell
you. Did we ask Mrs. Ace to join us so that whatever suspicion or unrest they may have about us will be done away with? With her on the committee, a newcomer to our midst, there will be the slightest cause for a...
Oh, I see. And I think you couldn't have picked a better first party. Oh, my dear. When I think of some of the things she said last Saturday night...
Exactly. Now you understand, don't you, Pat?
Yes. Yes, I'm beginning to.
You really don't jump at conclusions, say, to be fair.
Oh, I'm afraid I am a little jumpy. It took me 3 months to get over it last year when we divided the $1,200. Why, it was fully 3 months after the play was over before I got over the feeling that everybody was pointing at me.
Oh, you're acting childish.
Well, I can't...
How could they possibly know what money you take in? Over half the tickets we sold were to people in town who never even thought of coming to the play. They were just sold tickets. That's all. And I think that we did a good job of selling, even if I do say
Yes,
now here's my plan. If you're on the committee, we won't have enough time to devote to the actual work of selling tickets. Because she's made up her mind to be in the play. And that way, we can just use her as a sort of spoil. Appease the other members who think we're running things too much, and just go about our business just as we have in the past.
Yes, but what part in the play can we give her? You know, we've promised every part.
That's right, Helen. I simply must have my niece playing the wife. It kills two birds with one stone. Her husband, you know, is one of the men who thinks we're running things too much.
Well, you leave that to me. I know how to handle her. She's so naive.
So innocuous.
In plain English, so dumb.
I'll get you. Yes, I'll go. Now remember, girls, a friendly front, be pleasant to her, and leave most of the talking to me.
We understand.
I'll try.
Even if it kills me, Patricia, be calm. You excite yourself too.
Oh, hello, you dear.
Oh, hello. Am I late? I heard as fast as I could.
Not at all. Not at all.
The girls and I were just talking matters over. Right in here, Mrs. Ace.
All right.
Oh, girls, this is June 8th. We met her the other night at the club.
Oh, yes.
You remember Mrs. Billington?
Oh, sure. Hello. We had such a long talk.
Patricia, please.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Clean.
Good evening.
Just fine, thanks.
Here, I'll take your things.
Oh, that's all right. I'll just put them over here. I had an awful time getting here. There's a big dog outside. He's an awful looking thing. So dirty.
Yes, that's Sticky. He's all pet. He loves to
Oh, he's awful cute.
Yes, he really has a child.
Well, I should have met him when I was younger. My sister used to have a dog. I was scared of him, too. But they just loved him. I'll never forget the fun we had thinking up a name for him. I finally thought of Fido.
Fido, that's a lovely name.
Yes, but she lost him finally on account of the lease.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't the dog be a talk machine?
No, the leash he kept him tied up with. He kept chewing it, and one day he ran away.
Oh, yes. Well, now, if you just sit over here, we'll continue our little discussion.
Oh, I love this apartment.
Have you gotten over our little talk about your being on the ticket committee?
Uh-huh. It's awfully nice of you to ask me to be on it.
Mm, and you assist, of course.
Well, do I have to sell a certain number of tickets? Is that the idea?
No, it's nothing like that. Merely a formality. We girls do most of the ticket selling. We'll be too busy with the play, of course. But it's just a matter of having a fourth on the committee, that's all.
Oh, I'm sure anxious about the play. Ruth Mary and I both.
What about Ruth Mary?
Yeah, we're both going to be in it.
Oh, now, we have just so many parts
just
in the play.
Girls, I'd better explain to Mrs. A. first.
All right.
You see, the play has only 12 parts.
Well, we only want two. One for her and one for
me. Most of the parts have already been promised.
Darling,
you see, we have all little group of players here to do our former shows, and
they... you say that I could
be... Of course you can. Now, let me see. There's a wife and a husband and two sisters of a husband.
Oh, I could be the wife.
No, no, that's already cast.
Oh.
And the two sisters are cast, and then there's a mother-in-law.
Oh, you're much too young for that. Oh, I couldn't play a mother-in-law part. I'll tell you what I act best in. I was in three or four plays at school. I act best in sport clothes and things like that.
Well, this is a society drama. All in formal evening wear. Now, let me see. What other female parts are there? There's Marie. You could play Marie.
All right, Marie. I like that name.
Yes, it is a nice name, isn't it?
Marie. Oh, well, what do I have to do? I'd like to see the play.
You will, my dear, you will. I'll send you a copy of it as soon as we have more touch with you.
Marie, I think I'm going to like that. What kind of a girl is she?
Well, she's French.
French. Oh, well, that's nice. French.
Yes, she's a white French maid.
Maid? Oh.
Oh, not the ordinary maid. No, no, indeed. If she opens the show, you'll be the very first one on the stage.
Oh, well, that's nice.
You're just the one for it, Mr. Gillis. The more I look at you, the more convinced I am that you'll fit it perfectly, my dear.
Yes, oh, Marie, the French maid. All right. But I did want to play the wife.
That part is intact. Now, Miss is going to play.
Yes, you see, Mrs. Gillis wanted to play one of the leads last year. And she just lost out. She just wasn't quite tall enough for our leading man. So we promised her that this year she would stay.
Well, how about Ruth Mary?
What about Ruth Mary?
Yes, she has to have a part in the play, too. What part is she?
Oh, well,
then now there's no use beating around the bush, Mrs. A. You see, all the parts have been cast but this one part, Marie. And besides, your friend is a very new member. So you'll have to wait for next year.
Next year? Oh, no, I couldn't tell her that. I almost promised her a part in the play.
You promised
her? No, you're not getting anywhere.
Well, I thought as long as I was going to be on the committee, I was one of the big shots. I mean, I thought I could...
And you are, my dear, you are.
Well, then why can't I give Ruth Mary a part?
Well, you could play it almost all time. Except for the part of Marie. That's all.
Why don't you give your friend that part?
You mean give Ruth Mary Marie?
Yes, if she's so anxious to be in the play.
Well, then that leaves me out.
Oh, but you still have your committee work.
You mean all I'll do is sell tickets and keep track of the tickets we all sell?
No, that wouldn't do. No. You'd better play the part. Ruth Mary will just have to wait for next year.
Oh, I couldn't go back and tell her that.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
Why not make Mrs. A a sort of assistant coach of the play? She can help direct it and see to it that everyone's on time at rehearsals
and
all that.
An excellent idea. We had too much trouble getting everybody together all the time last year. And the year before, it's always
Oh, but I want to ask. You can't act and coach, too.
Well, we're offering you the part of Marie.
Yes, but Ruth Mary has
to. Oh, don't
Oh, but I tell you that
why not make Ruth Mary the coach
thing? Yes, Mrs. A, that's an idea. She'd love it.
But I told her she could add.
What makes you think she can?
Well, as long as I was going to be on the committee, I thought...
Oh, now, this is getting irksome. Can I see you a minute?
No, Helen? My dear, not now.
But I don't think this is going to work out at all the way
you want. No, Mrs. A, do you mind if I call you Jane?
All right.
I really feel as if I'd known you forever.
Well, Jane...
Don't you think if I could explain to Ruth Mary about all the parts being cast that she would understand?
Well, I don't think so. I don't understand it myself.
But they are your cast, always for me. I'll tell you what. Why don't you make it a sporting proposition? Why don't you pass a coin with your friend to the park?
Pass a coin? What do you mean?
Not coin, Jitter. You both toss a dime or a quarter into the air.
Oh, well, they haven't any money to throw around that way. They're not as well to do as we
Oh, yes. We understand, my dear. Now, I have an idea.
why not make Ruth marry your understudy?
Understudy? What's that?
Now, here's the idea. Suppose something happened to you that you couldn't play the part. Accidents will happen, of course.
Yes, they will.
And if you have an understudy for the part, you'll be able to step right into it. You can both study it together, and you can attend rehearsals together. You can watch the way you act the part, and if it comes to pass, that you won't be able to be in it, you can take your part. How about it?
Well, we are girls, huh?
Well, that's something new in theatricals. An understudy for the part of a maid. Jane's mixed up in some pretty bad company here, but we wonder if their plots will work out as well as they hope. We'll learn more when we next meet the Easy Aces.
Those two episodes of Easy Aces have survived from their original broadcast dates in the early 30s. The first listing for an Easy Aces program is dated January 1933. The sponsor was Lavoric. The time slot on the East Coast was 10:15 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, with a healthy rating of 12. Easy Aces was on the CBS network. In 1934, the program was a daytime feature sponsored by Jad Salt. By 1935, the Aces were on the Blue Network opposite Amos and Andy at 7 o'clock, and Aniston had assumed sponsorship. Three times per week, the Easy Aces continued their delightful brand of humor until 1942. In 1944, the program was back on CBS with a new half-hour format, still working for Aniston. Now a studio audience was present to react to Jane Ace's Malaprop. Other networks programmed The Lone Ranger, a news commentary by H.V. Kaltenborn and Arthur Hale, opposite the Aces. By January of 1946, the Easy Aces no longer appeared on radio logs. Ladies and gentlemen, Easy Aces is the title of Goodman Ace's book about those years of radio's distinctive laugh novelty. It's a humorous and historical account, and we recommend it highly. Soon there will be a second volume, Capital I, as Goodman Ace recounts his adventures while writing comedy material for Perry Como, Milton Berle, and other early TV funny men. At Pasadena City College in January 1972, Goodman Ace answered questions about his book, James Malaprop and the Easy Aces.
I don't think you'll find this book anywhere. I think that my publisher is trying to make a rare edition out of it in his first printing. I know that I called him up and told him I had a letter from somebody in Oregon saying they couldn't find a book, and they wrote away to the state of Washington and couldn't find it. And he said to me, well, you can't find books in every shop. He said, that's ridiculous. You can't just keep sending them around. So I said, okay, I'll go along with that. Then a couple of days later, I said, hey, I got another letter from a woman from a bookshop in which they returned a check that she had said. Said, we have no file on this book. We have no catalog, nothing. And he said, well, I told you you can't have it. I said, but this is a Doubleday bookshop on 57th and 5th Avenue. It's their own bookshop that they have. And they didn't have it there. He said, who's it signed by? I said, the manager, Anna Cohen. I said, who's that? He said, a former employee. He was ready to fire. But there are two rules, basic rules they have about books, I found out. The way a bookshop will display a book prominently if it's a bestseller. And the only way a book can become a bestseller is if it's displayed prominently in a bookshop. That's the way it goes.
Next one, it says, is your wife as much fun as she sounds?
Is she as much fun?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's a ball. I tell you, if she leaves me, I get pretty... She can make things come out her way no matter what I do. We have little discussions about it. I remember on my birthday, she said, well, how do you feel on your birthday? I said, old. She said, now, that's not, you shouldn't do that. Repeat after me, she said. I am not old. I'm only growing older. And it made me repeat it. And I repeated it. And then I said, you know, can I add something to that? She says, well, I said, my glasses are old and my ears are old. She says, no, no, now don't say that. She hates that. I remember playing a record with some guy who came up to the house, one of our old records. He wanted to take something out of it. And she was listening to it in her room, I guess. She came out afterwards and said, When did we make that? I said 1949 was the date on it. She says 10 years ago. I said, no, Jane, that was, she says, oh, I don't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear how many years ago that was. I remember a joke that something that actually happened, and we used it on Easy Aces many years ago. And my mother was visiting me, she was 80. And she said she had these bad headaches, and I took her to this doctor. And he made me get out of the room, and when I took her out, I said, so what did he do? He said, all my teeth would have to come out, so I took out both plates and handed them to him. Well, I heard a guy say it happened to him. Actually happened to him. This has been 20 years ago, and I use it just because, and jokes that I've actually made up, I've heard played back a lot of times, too.
The next question, Carter, is in two parts, Goodman. Will you continue with Saturday Review, and it's time for another Easy Aces program. The sooner the better.
Well, I'm going to continue with the Saturday Review. I don't know. I don't know. You know, when I first joined the Saturday Review about 20 years ago, it was known as the Saturday Review of Literature. And 2 weeks after I joined it, they dropped the of Literature. I thought it was kind of coincidental. But the Easy Aces program, if somebody wants to, we have recordings of them, and somebody wants to syndicate them, so we may do that. If anybody wants to buy them, I don't know. Well, that's nice. I'm glad of that.
Give us some behind the scenes of Easy Aces. How did you come up with that much material?
Well, it was a 5-time-a-week show, and we didn't have an audience, studio audience. We had a girl on the show named Marge who laughed, had a nice laugh. She and Jane were supposed to be, as Jane put it, insufferable friends. And she was our laugh track, and she was our... And so she had a laugh, and had a nice laugh, and we just wrote a laugh in for her. It wasn't too difficult to write, and it wasn't like writing a half-hour show where every line is got to get a laugh. Although nowadays... Actually, it doesn't have to get a laugh because there are laugh machines around. It's just awful. I hear a laugh machine on a I Love Lucy show, and the phone rings, and she just walks over to answer the phone, and there's a laugh, you know. They just keep the laugh going for no reason at all. That's hurting comedy a little bit because writers used to wonder whether an audience will laugh at a joke. Now they don't have to wonder. They know they're going to laugh at them because there's a machine that is played like an organ, you know. You can get... So I have to tell you this. I've never been to the Saturday Review. I've written to them all those years, and I just send them a copy, and they send me a proof, and then I call them and make a correction. And I don't know. There's a whole new thing going on. Norman Cousins, I understand, is thinking of starting a new magazine called The New Review. And he's been asking me if I want to join up with him. I don't know what to do about it. I thought I'd wait to see how they make out with that. Norman Cousins is not with them anymore. He resigned. And I don't know who the others are going or anything. You got anything important?
Yeah, one here says, what advice would you give to a beginning writer?
Well, that's hard to tell. Just writing is... sometimes I was just saying that I wish I had some other skill because, you know, writing can get... It's very tough. It's a solitary business. You sit there at a typewriter and if you have to write a piece for the Saturday Review, it's 800 words. And you've got maybe one joke that you know that'll fit in the piece, you know, and you're trying to build. And sometimes it just takes a long time. Writing, there's no shortcut to it. It's just writing and more writing. I remember once when I was in school... A drama editor of the Kansas City Star came and told us that, and I said, sure, it's well enough for you to talk. You were already there, you know. That means I just got to keep on trying and trying. But it's very hard to sell stuff, even. You know, magazines don't buy a lot of stuff anymore. And writing is just no shortcut. You just have to develop a style. You got to develop some imagery. Got to know a little grammar. I get... Quite a few, you know, you can drop a comma and get 500 letters from Saturday Review readers, you know. And a lot of times I make a mistake in a word. I remember once I said I felt badly about something. And I got a very sharp letter from a woman who said, you must have been down in the vault clipping some of your bonds and your fingers were numb. And that's why you felt badly. You couldn't feel very well. Is that what it was, you know? And so I write a little note to her, and I say, well, I was absent the day we had the flat adverb that required the L-Y, and I say, I'd like to promise it won't happen again, but I'm sure it will. You know, I try to answer as many letters as I can. I'm about 350 letters behind right now.
The final question, Mr. Ace, has to do, if I can make the question out, having to do who wrote the script, I guess, for what James Ace said, you know, in your
Easy Acres.
Yeah, the script of the props.
Malaprop?
Yeah, Malaprop.
Well, I wrote all the scripts of those things. Well, that was... Well, I have a collection of about 2,500 Malaprops, and I see them. They're in common usage nowadays. People say them. I wrote those... I think we were on the air for about 17 years or something like that. 5 a week. That wasn't... But it wasn't hard. I used to think it was difficult. On television... The difference is, on television, you write halfway across the page, from left to right. You write right down to there, and you stop. And nobody's ever told me why. And I told them, I said, you know, that takes up twice as much paper. I don't know why they do that. It's the difference. In radio, you go clear across, and you read the script. Nobody's ever been able to explain that to me. I said, my overhead's gone way up.
Well, Jane Ace still has a big problem on her hands with her Aunt Louise, who has offered to take her on a trip around the world if she'll leave Mr. Ace for a year. Added to that, Aunt Louise offers Jane her fortune when the trip's over. But Jane still hesitates about leaving Ace after seeking advice from neighbors and from friends.
Aunt Louise, are you out? Oh, what is it? Oh, I declare, the minute I start the clothes off, oh, excuse me.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you.
Well, have you come to your senses? You going with me or not?
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about.
What's there to talk about? It's either yes or no. Jane, you've got to come with me. Don't let that fool husband of yours throw away the only chance you'll ever have to go.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. We were just talking it over, Mr. Ace and I.
I suppose he told you to turn it down.
Well, not yet. First, you think you ought to give me some money. Just to show you really mean it's what you say that about the money you promised.
Oh, he does he? Well, he's a shrewder businessman than I gave you credit for being. Come on.
$5,000.
What's that?
He wants you to give me $5,000.
Well, I think that's fair.
Oh, just fair?
Yes, that's too fair.
Well, what do you think would be good?
I said I thought that was fair. But first, I've got to be sure you're coming with me. How do I know you won't take the $5,000 and then turn me down? I'll give you $1,000 in advance.
$1,000? No, nothing less than $4,000.
What? You tried to hold up your own aunt? That's some of his doing, I can see that. I'll give you $1,500 and the rest when we're on the way.
$1,500 why I should say not. I'll make it $3,000, and we wouldn't even think of anything less than $2,000.
$2,000, Dave?
Wait a minute, don't skip the $3,000.
$3,000 advance, nonsense. $2,000's my list, and I won't give you that in cash, either.
What do you mean?
I'll give you a check for it, dated the day we leave on the trip. Then I'll give you another check for the balance when we're gone. No cash. No, sir. If that husband of yours thinks he can put anything over on me, he's mistaken. I don't trust him any more than he trusts me. If he wants to put it on a cold business basis, it's all right with me. You get the advance, and then after that, you get the rest of the money we have left over when we get back from the trip. That is, if you still want to come back to him when the trip's over.
Well, what does that mean? Where else will I go?
Oh, well, we'll come to that when the time rolls around. Well, is it a deal? If it is, I'll give him my check.
Oh, yes, he wants me to be sure to get the check.
Oh, he does. Well, there's something I want you to do for me before I go passing around any money like that. How about you signing a bit of paper, turning yourself over in my complete charge for a full year?
What do you mean?
I mean that for a year, you're mine. You go where I want you to go. You stay with me. There's no turning back once we get started. I'm not going to have you decide you've had enough and want to come back home.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I went.
Well, then you don't mind signing your name to that. Get you some paper.
All right.
And for me.
I'm getting it.
He wants it all done business-like, does he? Well, we'll fix him up all right.
Here it is, Aunt Louise. You want to sit at the desk?
No, this table's all right.
Mr. S. Where are my spectacles?
Right there on your head.
What? Oh, yes. Let me see now. I never did my chin anyway. I'll fix him so
you know. You want a blotter, Aunt Louise?
No. Just hand me my bag. I've got my checkbook there. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, here you are.
Yes, let me see here. I'm going to make this out for $2,000. First, you're going to sign this paper.
All right, where?
Well, where do I finish it now?
I'll get you a blotter, Aunt Louise.
Oh, never mind. Now for the check. $2,000. I'm dating this the day we leave, Friday. It's yours at that time if you come with me. Understand, girl?
Yeah, $2,000 in advance of going on the trip.
Yes. There we are. Hand me the steadies it used to be. Get out of my life.
Get out of your life? Why in the weeds? I thought you liked
it. Stand over there. Let me see what I'm doing here.
Oh, over here?
Yeah. Here we are. There now. Guess this is binding and legal. You got to sign this first before I give you this check.
This paper, you mean? What is it?
It's your promise to stay away from him for a whole year to start with. And later you'll, we'll see about that when the time comes. Just sign it.
All right, here?
Yes.
Well, give me the pen. Oh, shoot, he's back.
Well, hurry, girl. Sign it.
Well, all right. There. Oh,
how's that?
Oh, just a minute, dear. Oh, the check. Give me the check.
There you are.
$2,000. Oh, boy, won't you be surprised. Well, I'll be in here, dear.
$2,000. Oh, she got you right down to that, huh?
Well, you said
$2,000. Well, I said as a last resort. I'll bet I could have. Well, what is she so happy about? I suppose that's because she got off for cheap. I bet I could have gotten $5,000 just as easily.
No, you couldn't. It worked out just like you told me. I said $5,000, and she said she thought that was just fair. So I asked her what she thought was good.
What?
And then she asked me to sign the paper.
Sign what paper? What's been going on here?
Jane thinks she put over a big deal. But wait till Ace gets a load of what Jane signed her name to. Then the fireworks begin. Another nostalgic look at radio of yesterday.
Now it's just about time we were picking up our memories and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them, as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I'll be keeping my weather eyes peeled.
Yes, sir.
Looking for you all to join us the next time we drop around this way for a friendly little get-together. And I hope that it'll be real soon, folks. And until then, this is your old friend, Sam. Goodbye for now.
Same Time, Same Station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Bright. Associate producer, Cam Currier. Special research by Martin Halpern. I'm Bill Browning. Our thanks to Goodman Ace for his help in preparing tonight's program. The E.B. Ace's programs are now back on the air, syndicated through KLD Productions of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Consult your paper for time and station. Next week, a tribute to Eddie Cantor.
I know you won't want to miss it, so be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.